Hi, and welcome to Write Your Book Your Way, the interview series that goes behind the scenes of real self-published books to explode the myth that there's a right way to write your book. I give you the freedom to write in a way that feels good to you and gets it finished. I'm Chris Emery, editor and owner at Chris Emery Editorial, and I'll be interviewing my past clients, all first-time non-fiction writers and entrepreneurs, to show you how it can be done. That means how it could be done, not how it should be done. Today, I'm talking with Sophia Robinson, who I worked with as editor on her book, Everything Is a Thing. Sophia Robinson is an island girl who lives, works, and writes in Barbados. By day, she is a dentist who is passionate about health and has a love for working with special needs patients. Sophia is also the owner of the 39 and Counting blog, a project she started not long before she turned 40 to reflect on life lessons from her first 39 years on the planet. As a keen world traveler, she uses this space to explore her experiences and philosophy on life, sprinkled with fun, humor, and big love from a small island. Her mission is to inspire you to embrace every part of your story and try something new. Her new book, Everything Is a Thing: My Journey to Living a Truly Authentic Life, is launching on 16th of September 2019, and you can follow her journey and her blog at 39andcounting.com. In her spare time, you'll find her brushing up on her photography skills, enjoying island sunsets, baking delicious treats, or spending time with her friends and family. This is my conversation with Sophia.
Hey everyone, so today we're here with Sophia Robinson and we are delighted to have you here, Sophia.
Thanks for having me.
So we worked on your book around 9 months ago, I guess it was now. That's
Yeah, I think it was
awesome.
about like August. I think it wrapped up about August, September, not last year. So yeah, about 9 months now.
Yeah. And before
Wow.
that, we were hanging out in a writing group that I hosted
Yes.
with a colleague of mine, Anik Ina. And so you were super familiar with everything I did before we worked together. And then we went on to do some editing together in
Yes, we did.
a year ago, and you're just about to launch your book. So, the first thing that I'm going to ask you to do is just explain a little bit about what the book is and how it relates to your business. And you're a bit of a different case because a lot of my clients have a business that the book ties very much into, but you have a day job. So, tell us a little bit about
Yes, I definitely have a day job for
that.
sure. And so it is a bit different. It has nothing to do with my day job at all. And but it's to do with my secret day job as an author because I love to write. So that's what it was all about. But the book is called Everything Is a Thing, and it's like some of it, a lot of it is my story about how I got to lead a more authentic life. And I guess just give a bit of information about it.
Yeah.
The book shares how I re-examined my own values, embraced my true self, and found all the support I needed within my community. And part of writing it, my hope was to just help others feel grounded, accepting of who they are, and strengthen their existing relationships. So nothing to do with my work at all, just a lot of personal. I have a blog which I've had for just over 2 years now, and I've written a lot of personal stories on there, and I just wanted a way to kind of like encapsulate that one experience
Yeah.
or that
So
series of experiences.
exactly. It's like a collection of stories all wrapped up in a neat package. And one thing that I really loved about working with you was the fact that it was almost like a coming of age story, but for a special birthday a little later on in life. And reflecting over the lessons that you had learned, but there was a very strong theme throughout the book. So, I know that there was a birthday involved there, but
there
how
was.
Did you come to the decision that you wanted to start writing the book? Because obviously it was a little bit before this birthday, and what kind of made you start?
So it's a bit of a funny story. I started my blog probably 9 months before I started writing the book. And when I started the blog, I was about to turn 40. This year I'm going to be 42, so that was almost a couple of years ago. But I was about to turn 40, and I was kind of like, I wanted to write about the lessons that I learned in life before I turned 40. So I had this blog called 39 Lessons I Learned, written way more than 39 lessons, and I really enjoyed the process of going through and finishing that project. And when I got to the end of that project, honestly, it was like a bit of coffee, adrenaline type of thing, because like you get a real rush from finishing a project, or at least I do. And I was like, you know, I could write a book. Like when I put all the blog posts together and I looked at the number of words and stuff like that, I was like, this could totally be a book. So somehow I got this idea in my head that I wanted to write a book. But the truth is, like, if you'd have asked me then what the book was going to be about, I would have said to you, I have no idea. I just want to write a book, but I don't know what it's going to be about. And a few months after that was when I actually met Anik, you know, for the first time. And I said to her, jokingly, I met her so random. Like, I always think about how randomly I met her. And we're in this Facebook group of thousands of people. There are hundreds of posts every day. And somehow I came across some random post that she'd written, and we started chatting, and we set up this coffee date. And, you know, I asked her what she did, and she told me, and I was like, oh, I totally want to write a book. She's like, you should do it. And I was like, yeah, I don't know what I want to do. And she was like, I know how to figure that out. And I was like, yeah, right. Like, I genuinely didn't believe her, but she was true to her word. And when I kind of chose the topic, it was actually something that I'd been thinking about for a while, but I didn't see it as a book. I'd seen it as something else. I actually thought it was going to be a TED talk that I was going to do, which I started writing, which is weird because I hate public speaking. But I put it away. And then when I wanted to start writing the book, I was like, this is it. This is what it's going to be about. And I was able to use some of the stories I had for my blog with new stories and with new experiences and just really tie it together. So it was just perfect, really.
Cool. So I was going to ask about that, what the writing process was. So you did use some of your existing content, but
say about 30 to 35% of it was existing content. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it was like brand new content.
How did you get it done? What did sitting down and writing actually look like?
So first I planned it out. I had kind of like a rough plan of what I wanted to include, what sections I wanted to include, some of the stories that I wanted to tell, some of the points that I wanted to really emphasize. Mm-hmm. And pardon me, so I had it planned out. But it wasn't necessarily linear. Like, I didn't necessarily sit down every day and write like 500 words. Some days I wrote a lot. Like, you know, some weekends I would sit down and write like 3,000 words. Mm-hmm. And other days I might only write, like, I made a commitment to writing every day. My commitment was to try to get to about 2,000 words a week.
Okay.
Most weeks I surpassed that because I would, once I kind of got into the writing, it kind of started to flow and that was it. So most weeks I surpassed that, but it was just a matter of making the commitment. I feel like that's the biggest thing. Like, once I made the commitment to do it, to write it, to complete the project and to kind of write that number of words every week, at least, I found time to do it. Sometimes I would wake up early. Sometimes I would do it in the middle of the day. Sometimes I would go somewhere different. Like, you know, I'd go sit on a beach or I would go sit at a coffee shop and write just for a change of scenery. But it was making the commitment and then sitting down and actually writing and realizing that sometimes when you feel like you don't have anything to write, that you kind, you know, maybe I'll write something else. I still had a blog, so sometimes if I didn't feel like I could write something, I would write something else and that would spark another idea.
Yeah, so the inspiration would flow from the fact that you were just writing rather than having to write a certain part of the book that you had designated. Okay, cool. Awesome. Somebody else actually in one of these interviews said a very similar thing about just making a commitment to a certain minimum number, and then often she would surpass it. In fact, she said I think it was either a sentence a day or 50 words a day. And of course, you're not just going to write one sentence, but sometimes you might not feel like writing, and as long as you did write the sentence, then that was fine.
Yeah, then that's it.
And she would always do it at the same time of day. I think she said if she hadn't written during the day, then last thing at night, you know, she would do the sentence before she went to bed. But
I'm more of a morning person. I'd have to get up and do it first thing, because I have the rest of the day.
Yeah, I know exactly. Sorry?
I know what she means, yeah.
Yeah, so it sounded like that you did it at different times of day, and you fit it in with your life quite organically and quite naturally.
Yeah, definitely.
When you said you went to the beach and that kind of thing, you've obviously got beaches relatively nearby.
I've got lovely beaches here, yes.
So you were going along, you've got your writing process, if you can call it that, very kind of organic way of writing. How, on the other hand, did you know when you were finished? Because a lot of people struggle to kind of define when it's finished, and it keeps getting tweaked and tweaked and tweaked, or, you know, when it's a book very much like yours, which is kind of organic and about your life, and you can just carry on adding stories and adding stories forever. So how did you define what was finished?
Well, I think a part of it was just intuitive, to be honest. There was a part of me that just felt like, here is a full stop and not a comma. knowing that the story of your life continues, but like, this is the end of the story. That's not scientific, but that was pretty much how I did it. And I didn't strictly keep to the word count or anything. If I didn't get to 45,000 words and then put a full stop there and be like, boom, that's it. But like, I realized that I was starting to wrap it up by a certain point, and then I felt like there needs to just be one more thing, and there was one more thing, and that was it. And it just felt complete. Like, it just felt like, okay, this is a full stop and not a comma.
Awesome. Okay. So yeah, I think if we define things very strictly and try to stick to what it is that we decided our book was going to be right at the start, that can be a little restrictive. So it's really nice to hear that it was more intuitive and it just felt right.
It was. And it was as organic as the writing process. Eventually it kind of wrapped itself up. Like we had this hashtag in the group that we called it the book that wrote itself, because it almost felt like it was writing itself. And eventually it was like, okay, I'm done now. So.
Yeah,
it just felt like it wrapped up organically as well.
Nice. So I know that you are continuing to write and more interested in, you know, a bit of a fictional slant and writing novels and just enjoy writing generally. But if you were going to publish again, what would you do differently? And bearing in mind this first publishing is yet to actually go ahead, because just about to publish the first book that's been a couple of years in the making. But if you're going to go through all the process that you've gone through so far and do it again, what would you do differently, including the writing?
Well, it would take a lot to talk me into doing it again. I will always have a problem, because I love writing. That was the easiest part of the process. Mm-hmm. I people are always surprised when I said I really enjoyed the editing process. Like, don't tell anyone, Chris, but like, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. And but it felt really good. I had a few people say to me, like, I know quite a few people who didn't bother to have it edited, like, freshly edited at all. but I feel like you can tell, like, mm-hmm. now that I've gone through the process and I look at what I had submitted before and what I got back, I'm like, what? There was no way that was not good enough. And
it's amazing that you enjoyed that. That's really great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think a part of it was that the whole process felt very supportive and it didn't feel like somebody was poking holes in your work, which is, I think, what people are afraid of.
Yeah, I'm so against. Like, I've had my stuff edited. I've been a corporate reporter and a writer for a long time and had my work edited on a daily basis. Sometimes I was getting multiple rounds of editing feedback a day on different projects, and it is soul destroying when you get feedback in a certain way. And when I became an editor myself, I really did not want to be about that kind of thing.
Yeah, and you're I don't know how anybody else would say about it, but I felt really supported during that process. It was amazing. But as soon as that finished, I honestly felt like there were a lot of moving parts that I could not keep my eye on, and all of them have been outside my comfort zone.
This is sort of editing stops, and then you move into the publishing and visibility kind of drive.
So a part of it were all of the decisions that I had to make that drove me crazy, right? Because I was like, are you going with Ingram Spark? Are you going with Amazon? Are you what size book do you want? Do you want this trim? Do you want that trim? What weight of paper do you want? I don't know what any of these things mean. Like, pick something. I don't care. What if I don't care? What category do you want it in? Two categories. What keywords do you want? Do some keyword research. And I'm doing this keyword research and there's like 10 million posts on Google about,
right, you need to research what keyword research even is.
Do that. And that, this is before I even think about like promoting it.
Yeah.
It's all of these stupid little decisions that you have to make about things that you genuinely don't care about, right? I spent ages trying to find somebody to do the layout because I didn't even realize that it was a thing. I was like, what do you mean layout? Like, can't I just mail it to them and they send back a book? Like, I don't understand. And because I've been doing a printed version, every single page has to be laid out. Do you want all the chapters to start on an even numbered page? Do you mind if they start on an odd numbered page? Blah, blah. I'm just like, what font do you want? I mean, like, honestly.
Not a detailed person, guys.
For starters, I'm not a details person. And for secondly, I don't care. Like, they all look the same to me. Why I can't? So yeah. I found all of those things were really difficult. And I was fortunate to have, I worked with someone to do the layout and everything. I was fortunate. How I found that person again was just random. But I was really fortunate to find someone to do that for me. And then she did a fantastic job. And even with that, she sent back a few things like, you know, what about, you know, do you want this? The words start halfway down the page. Top of that. I'm just like, what? Seriously? It was just, it was unbelievable. I had to get someone to design the cover, like all of those things. Yeah. And then now I have to promote it, which is a whole other thing that's outside my comfort zone. Yeah. So if you ask what I would do differently, I think I told you, I would probably just print them all up on my computer, staple them together and send them out in the mail. And then, no, I'm just kidding. In all seriousness, I would outsource so much of that. I think doing it the second time around, I know what to expect.
Yeah.
And the irony of it is, I think if I'd known what to expect the first time, I'm not convinced I would have done it at all. Mm. So I'm glad that I didn't know, but also, like, now if I had to do it again, if someone said to me I had to do it again and I could afford to just close my eyes and make a magic wand and wave it, I would outsource so much more of it from the beginning.
Cool. And I guess tied to that question, I was going to ask, what have you learned from writing and publishing your book, but it sounds like that's loads. Kind of what you just answered. But yeah, tell me more about what you've learned.
Loads. I learned some things that didn't necessarily feel like positive lessons, so I won't bore you with those. But one of those was how much of being an author is not writing. And that was really eye-opening to me. Like, it never occurred to me, because yes, you can publish traditionally, but then there's all the pitching and the deadline. Like, there's a whole different dynamic there. But it kind of was eye-opening to me about how much, it's almost like that iceberg, when you see the picture of the iceberg and you see like the little bit at the top and then you see all of it at the bottom. To me, that's what being an author would be like. And so, like, you know, for me, if I ever considered that I wanted to have that as a, you know, a part of my business, I'd have to think really carefully about the fact that there's a big part of the process that is not my strong suit, and how could I best outsource that?
Yeah.
So to me,
was a job where we just got paid to write whatever we like, and that was that.
That would be nice. That would be amazing. I don't think it exists. So I think I learned a lot about the industry, and you know, I learned a lot about publishing and self-publishing and the pros and the cons. And you know, like, I would if I, you know, if I could get my head around pitching. And like, I have got a friend who's a short story writer, and she's been, you know, going through the process of finding an agent and trying to get a publisher to publish her work for ages, like a good couple of years probably. And so to me, I don't feel like that's, like, there's no easy way to do it. Like, there's no easy way to get your book out there. But I'm happy with the decision I made to self-publish. But I learned a lot about the industry that I didn't know before. And it was like, I love to learn, so that's always good for me. And also, I guess I learned how to navigate things that were outside my comfort zone.
Okay.
A bit better.
There were so many of those decisions coming.
Yes, a bit better. But yeah. And the other thing I learned was that you can't be a perfectionist when you are...
Outsource that as well.
Doing anything. There's something to outsource. When you feel like you need to be a perfectionist, outsource that. Because... The thing is that, pardon me, the book is, it's never going to be perfect. Like, earlier when you asked, like, how do you know it's done? You know, like, you could go on and on and on and edit it and pick and pick and pick at it and never put it out into the world. But the truth is, like, no book is perfect. You know, if you ask any author, they would say to you, oh, I wish I'd done this, or, oh, you know, and it's just like, you, if you wait for it to be perfect, it'll never be the right time to release it.
Yeah. Definitely.
So you kind of have to let that go. And I think like that is where understanding it's a process comes in. Like, if I thought that very first draft version, if I thought that anybody was going to see that, I would have been terrified. But knowing that, you know, I have an amazing editor who can like transform it into something that sounds decent, or, you know, I have an amazing person to lay out and make it look beautiful, that I have another two or three passes at it to kind of get it to sound how I want. I learned that as you write, the sound of your voice changes. And by the end of the book, I probably felt like I was sounding more like how I wanted to sound at the beginning of the book, and I could go back and make those changes then. So, like, I learned to just keep going and not to kind of pick at it too much in between.
That's so awesome, and I'm so excited for it coming out next month by the time this video airs.
Yes.
So, last question, and it might not be something that's quite relevant yet, but, like, we can turn it around and look at it from a future perspective. So I normally ask people what opportunities have come your way since being an author. So looking at it from a future author perspective, what opportunities might you see coming your way once you're an author, or what have you stepped into as you prepare to become an author that you could not have imagined, you know, like a year ago when you were actually still in the thick of it?
So there have been some personal opportunities. Like I tell people, like, finishing that book made me feel like a rock star in my own, like, ability to start something and see it through to the end. Mm-hmm. And it kind of gave me the confidence, like, you can write a book. Like, can you believe that you actually can write a book? And I actually have written another book since then. because knowing that I could actually sit down, commit to a project and finish it, like, that, having that knowledge, like, it removed a little bit of doubt from me. Like, all the time I always wondered, like, could I write, like, you think, oh yeah, I could write a book, then you're like, could I write a book? Like, I know so many people who said, yeah, I'm gonna write a book, and they never finished it, and like, What if I'm one of those people? But because I actually start, finish, edit, you know, lay out, like, it's currently flying its way to Barbados from Amazon as we speak, like, feeling that feeling of confidence that comes with finishing something you started has given me confidence in other things.
Yeah.
You know, including more writing, including more, like, writing so that people who aren't just my friends can read it. And actually,
yeah, like, there is a definite distinction there. The first time you, like, get somebody on your mailing list whose name you don't recognize,
and yeah, like,
that's a very,
yeah,
it
is. And, like, you know, guest posting and different stuff, like, things that I might not have otherwise considered doing. So there are those opportunities. And then, like, you know, then there are my imaginary opportunities. Like, I have this dream about going, you know, and doing a big a big book launch. And it's basically going to be an excuse to travel to countries and see all the people that I want to visit, that I need an excuse to visit. I'm going to come to Australia and, you know, have a picture taken with my editor. And, you know, then I'm going to go.
That is my favorite thing. Like, I've got a shelf. It's still got a little space on here, but I've got a whole shelf of stuff I've edited, and getting a hard copy of a book through the post is still my biggest thrill. It's so awesome. So it's like, I hardly ever get to meet my authors, but meeting them in person is just incredible too. But yeah, having that physical thing that you can hold in your hands, just so awesome, because it really, you know, encapsulates all those months of hard, years in some cases, of hard work. Yeah, and it's, you know, a tangible thing that you can touch and give.
And like, that kind feel of and smell, and it's the new book smell. So, you know, that's just an excuse for me to go around the world and see all my friends and give them a copy of my book. So that's definitely on my agenda.
So make sure you have plenty of luggage allowance.
That's why there's print on demand.
That's true. Anyway, I know the lingo now.
Yeah, I'm all up on the lingo now. So that's probably like my secret bucket list stuff.
Love it.
And being able to call myself an author, which I still can't actually do. Like, I have to keep writing it down in places. Like, I very recently updated my LinkedIn profile and it says author, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can say that now. What? Yeah, I'm just gonna milk it for all it's worth. Mm-hmm. And I would like to think that it will open up more opportunities for me.
Cool. In the future.
I hope so. I really hope so. I feel like I've been able to connect with the people that I might not otherwise have connected with, and things like that. And you know, I'm not, like, years ago I did this course, which I have things to say about this course, but it's neither the place nor the time. But one thing they did, like, the very first thing they make you do is this plan called Beyond the Book. And I was just like, really? Like, you know, and I get it. I get that it's good to keep it's almost like having your why in focus, because if you're, you know, if you're running out of steam, then you want to feel like, you know, if you were writing a book for your business and you were thinking like, these are going to be the opportunities that this book is going to bring into my business, you want to establish that up front so that when you start to run out of steam, you can look back to that and be like, this is what I'm aiming towards. So for me, this was a passion project. And so, you know, for me, beyond the book is about like, just being able to connect with people through it and connect with their stories of how, you know, their own journey along the way, how they were able to reflect on, you know, the weight of other people's expectations and how they were able to reflect on their own values and make their own journey. Like, to me, that's the biggest opportunity. Like, it's, you know, it sparks so many great conversations.
Yeah.
And like, I'm looking forward to having more of those.
Yeah. And also like shows a willingness on your part to talk about those particular things and have those particular conversations and be seen as the person who is in that particular space, if that makes sense. So
yeah. Which is great. And it's like, it's such a common theme. Like, everybody's had their own experience with it. And so that's probably my biggest, the thing that I'm looking forward to the most.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I will post a link to your book below this video.
Yay! So
everyone watching can check it out. It's called Everything's a Thing, and it'll be available September 2019.
That's correct. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. And
okay.
See you soon. Bye, everyone.
Okay. Bye.